On May 9th, 2008, my best friend Andrew Bond lost his battle with heroin addiction at just 21 years old.
I sat down with Andrew's mother for the first time in 9 years.
Andrew was my middle child. He was a good kid. He had a lot of qualities. He loved his animals and he cared for people. He had a lot of energy, a lot of energy. Tried my patience at times. He was my kid. I loved him. I thought he was a person that was going to give something back to society and give me some grandchildren. He had good friends and he was a good friend. I expected great things out of him and I always thought that he would beat it.
What was it like to watch your son struggle with heroin addiction?
That almost killed me. I always lectured my kids about all the drugs du jour. I talked about crack cocaine and huffing and crystal meth and everything else. And I never talked about heroin. I didn't even know it was still around. I thought that was a drug that just faded out of existence. And when I found out, I just couldn't deal with it. I mean, I really, really had a hard time. He slowly turned into somebody I would have never imagined my son to be in a million years. He was not the kind of kid that would poke a needle in his arm. He's kind of squeamish about those things, and squeamish about bugs and, you know, weird stuff like that. And lo and behold, he was putting needles in his arms not too long after, you know, he started. He changed, he had rage, and he got thinner and thinner, and we tried all kinds of things, but it was really, really rough. At the time, Andrew was one of the, you know, early people in this current epidemic. As much as we looked for resources and sought things out, you know, we obviously didn't get what we needed for him. My husband did a lot of the legwork, took him to a place called the Dewey Center, and we had him on methadone, which I personally didn't want him doing anything, but Charles thought it would help him. But that all of that stuff just compounds it, just compounds it. It just about tore our whole family apart to watch him go through this. It was rough.
I constantly think about the week before I left for boot camp. Andrew had asked me if he could stay with me because he was really concerned about his addiction. He told me he needed a safe place to stay. That week was the last memory I have of Andrew. Andrew spent 2 days laying on my bathroom floor, vomiting relentlessly. He struggled to move. I listened to the sounds that he made. His body trembled as he told me he was going to beat it. I saw the desperation in his eyes. I believed he was going to make it. I guess it wasn't meant to be.
I sat down with my cousin Chris Lassier, who also happens to be one of Andrew's best friends. They often did heroin together. When Andrew passed away, Chris was not allowed to attend the funeral.
When you're in the throes of addiction, you really don't care about your life anymore. You're willing to take risks to do things to get money for drugs. You're participating in behavior that just is killing you. You're so caught up in it that you can't see. At the moment, at the times, I didn't fear for my life, but I look back now and I can see the insanity of what we were doing. I mean, we used to just deal with really bad people to get these drugs. There was one time when we went into a really bad neighborhood and some guys saw us buying drugs there and they started shooting at our car. There was other times where I had overdosed. I mean, I've overdosed maybe 4 or 5 times. I ended up in the hospital about 3 times. There's other times where I went to get high and I woke up like 6 or 7 hours later and my heart was racing and my head was all lightheaded and whooshy and, you know, I realized that I've overdosed and that happened quite a few times. There was one time where I was driving at night in a snowstorm and I had gotten high and I had fallen asleep while I was driving and I woke up and I was still driving and hadn't crashed into anything. But these situations, you know, you put yourself in. I can look back now and say that I put my life in jeopardy a lot to just pursue drugs.
I sat down with Tyler Hogg at a local coffee shop to talk about what Andrew meant to him as a friend and the times they took heroin together.
Andrew was my best friend, you know? And I know you and Chris can relate to that. Andrew was like everybody's drug coach. I felt safe doing it with him because he had done it before. He was like the pioneer in drugs with our group, you know what I mean? He did acid first, he did mushrooms first. He pretty much experimented for all of us and then kind of like relayed the details back. So it made it seem safer. Almost like he was like my physician. So he tied me off for the first time and shot it up for me, you know? I didn't even know how to do it. He showed me how to do it, you know? And so I was very careful about when I was doing it that way to ask him how much is too much, you know? I remember one particular instance, and it sticks out in my mind. We weren't supposed to be hanging out. I think it was right before he died, the New Year's, that before he died. And Andrew burned every bridge with every good friend he had pretty much at that point. You know, he was so deep in his addiction, and I was pretty deep in mine. And I was home for New Year's, and our parents wouldn't let us see each other. His parents were up north, and it was just him at home. And they might have been coming back that night, so we had to be like sneaky about it, you know what I mean? So I went over to his place, and it was just us two in his little basement, you know, where he slept, and he had his pool table there and his little area, and there's this tiny little TV down there, and it was just me and him. And, you know, we're getting high and watching the ball drop, and it was probably one of the saddest, most depressing sights you'll ever see, you know? Just the loneliness I felt, because I knew that we were fucked.
Eric Bacalar attended grade school and high school with Andrew, but felt it necessary to distance himself while Andrew was using heroin. He tends to focus on the positives.
He always meant someone that I could always get a smile from, someone that I could always count on to make me happy when I was having a bad day. He was just cool like that. You know, I try and think of the positives and all the good times that we shared together across our life.
Ricky Reyes also went to high school with Andrew. I think Ricky really describes Andrew the best.
He was a really important part of my life in that he was always someone who would listen to you, and not only listen to you, but admit if he had no clue what to say back or what advice to give you. That was probably one of his strongest qualities. He was never judgmental, and he would always be there no matter what. You could call him, and within minutes, he'd meet with you or call you or whatever you needed from him.
I don't know why it took me so long to contact Andrew's family. I guess I could never find the words that I really wanted to say.
I should have been there, and I'm sorry for that.